to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you. Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff, episode 76. We are back in your ears, folks. Welcome, girls.
Hello. Hello, Katrina. Christy.
Hi.
In person again.
I know. This is our third in a row.
Great to be together.
All in the one room together.
Yeah.
Which is a good vibe.
Exciting for more reasons than one. Just it's good to eyeball each other and that makes my editing job of the podcast so much easier afterwards than when we're all on different Zoom calls. So
less talking over each other, sort of. Kind of.
Yeah, totally. So great to be back with you all again for this episode. This one will come out mid to late November. And we thought that this might be a great opportunity to talk a little bit about the build up to Christmas time and the silly season, share some thoughts with you all around what we're doing over this period to try and keep calm in and amongst our days and try to not get too carried away and overwhelmed with all of the things that can come with this time of year. So we have done a similar episode in the past around this time of year, and it's always been received with lots of gratitude from our listeners, I think, just with some tips around how we can be really intentional with our days and our hours. And that's what we're going to chat about today. So some tips and things that we all use to try and make this as joyful a time of year as it possibly can be, because it's easy to get caught up and for it to go the opposite way, which we're all trying to avoid. So we might throw to who wants to go first, have a little bit of a talk about how you're feeling right now. We're recording very beginning of November. We've got just under 8 weeks or 6 weeks, I guess, till Christmas, which isn't long.
Wow.
School finishes up in, 5 or 6 weeks or less for some. How are you feeling, Katrina?
Yes, okay. So I guess to share with you how I'm feeling first, and then I'll share some kind of tips and tools that I've been thinking about. And also I interviewed Joanna Scott for my podcast yesterday. She's from Orange, and she's a yoga and meditation teacher, and she's awesome.
Cool.
I know, she was so good. And she also actually ended up kind of coaching me on the call, which was so cool. I know, I loved it. She said, can I coach you? I was like, yes, do it. Anyway, so I guess what I have noticed coming up for me at this time of the year is this sense of like, oh, I haven't done enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my goodness, another year's gone past and I haven't done the things I wanted to do. And, oh, you know, it's like, okay, hang on, just stop. What's going on here? And so I kind of unpacked that a little bit with Joanna, which was really good. And she was really helpful in just getting me to see that, interestingly, what I kind of realized though was she got me to think about like, well, what's success and what am I actually wanting, you know, and what do I want to really achieve. But also what she really highlighted for me, which I thought was interesting, was sometimes I think we have this idea that to have a successful year means we've, I don't know, ticked some imaginary box, or we've, you know, achieved some grand thing, or we've, you know, done something that we, you know, thought we wanted to do, or we've reached some goal that we had set at the start of the year, if we had set them. But actually what I realized was sometimes the most instrumental years, or the most, you know, extraordinary years, it's not because of some goal that we achieved. It's something else. And even it can even be one of our toughest years ends up being one of our most sort of pivotal moments in our life. And when we look back and you look back on the journey, you're like, well, actually that really challenging year actually ended up being something that just taught me so much. And is actually one of those years that when I look back, I go, wow, you know, that was a... And I was like, wow, that's just such an interesting way to think about it, and such a different way to think about it, and not just be like, oh, I didn't tick all these boxes that I wanted to tick. It's like, well, what else? So I'm trying to just lean into, okay, what else has happened this year? What have I learnt? You know, what experiences have I had? What have I felt? And also the big thing that she reminded me to do is, especially in this lead up to Christmas, just try to think about how you want to be, not all the things you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that can conceptually feel so hard and so complex. Like, what does that even mean? Like, how do I just be? But it's really about like, what sort of person do you want to be? Like, how do you want to show up? Do you want to be enthusiastic and full of life? Do you want to be calm? Do you want to be present? It's those sort of things, not like I need to go to every Christmas function and I need to make sure all the decorations are ready and, like, it's not the doing stuff. It's more the, well, I mean, you can focus on that as well, but also how do I want to be?
Yeah.
And if all the crazy socializing and all the Christmas preparations is stressing you out and then you're not able to be the person you want to be,
what's the point?
Then it's like, what am I going to, how am I going to have a reset of that or think about that? And now is the perfect time to be doing that and asking yourself, you know, because the more we kind of throw ourselves into all the stress and the busy and the crazy, the less we're present for our families then. And it's our kids that suffer because we're saying yes to all the Christmas functions or yes to making sure everything's perfect for Christmas, but that stresses us out.
Yeah.
So then we wheels fall off. Exactly. Christmas Eve, and that's not fun for anyone.
That's right. Mm. So that's where I'm sort of trying to think. And some sort of things to help you, I guess, with that is like thinking about, okay, what's important? I mean, and always thinking about this, but particularly in this next kind of, by the time this drops, it'll be sort of 5 weeks to Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's really important to me in this time? What can I prioritize? What can I let go of?
Yep.
And what can wait till next year? Because you know what? The world does not end at Christmas.
I know. We've said that before, haven't we? But haven't there's this tendency to think we have to fit everything
in. And then catch up with everyone.
Yeah. I know. Like, what? And I've got to finish every project because I've got to, you know. So I guess.
And there's so much relief and release in just saying, I'm going to do that next year.
Exactly.
Put it on the other list. Yeah. Or, you know, like put it. Yeah. It's okay to do that.
Yeah. And also what I've been trying to do now is actually, and I must be in a better headspace this year because I feel like I've got more clarity to actually think about next year already.
Mm.
Whereas in the past I haven't been kind of able to think
yep.
that far ahead as much. So I'm sort of starting to think, oh, what can next year look like?
Have there been things that you've done earlier as well in the lead up to this time? I'm thinking out loud because I know that I've actually got a little bit more organized with Christmas shopping, which I usually leave till kind of December. And I have got a little bit more organised. That actually is quite extraordinary. What a difference that
I wish I could say that, but no.
It's kind of like, do this? I've never done that ever.
No, I haven't done that.
But that's, we're heading to Greenland like for Christmas in early December. So I've kind of known that I need to get a little bit more organised a bit earlier. But it makes me feel really calm.
And the mental clarity.
And that's still the same amount of time I've actually got.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. No, I can't say I'm that organised. But the other thing I just want to share with you is this fabulous little exercise which Joe got me to do, which I've seen this somewhere else before actually, but it was wonderful. It's like, okay, so you say to yourself, all right, I haven't achieved all this stuff. And you say, and you then go, all right, well, what is this success or what is this thing that I actually want to achieve? You say, all right, what does my head tell me I wanted to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, like in your mind. And then you go, and you answer that and then you go, okay, what does my heart tell me?
That's cool.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then you go, all right, and you answer that and then you say, what is my gut telling me? Ooh, it's really powerful.
Wowzers.
Yeah. Because what you notice is all the busy, crazy stuff and the things you think you should be doing are all in your head. But when you go into your heart and your gut, it's like, oh,
less.
Well, my heart just said love. I just want love.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. She goes, yeah, and it's always so simple.
And the rest of the stuff's just furniture, isn't it?
It is. And it's our, you know, 80% of our experience is in our body, 20% in our mind. So we've just got to get into that body, get into that stop, slow down and say, all right, what's really important? And actually, if I'm honest, all that stuff's just in my mind. It's just busy stuff. The reality is I just want love. I just want calm. I just want peace.
Yeah.
For a lot of us, that's what it is, but we're too afraid to kind of sit into that.
And it's as simple as just taking that moment to do it and not just kind of heading into this period without just stopping for a moment and thinking, how do you want it to look and feel? How do I want to show up? How do I want to feel? Doing a simple exercise like that one to just be intentional about it.
Exactly.
Because otherwise we just cruise through and we don't make any changes. We don't look and go, well, how did it work last year? How did I feel last year? What changes do I want to make to that?
We just respond.
You don't need to do a lot.
No, that's right. And the other thing she highlighted was rest. Just allow yourself rest and give yourself permission. So, like, if you notice, especially in the lead up, oh, I just need a nanny nap today or, you know, and just do it, you know, just go and have that rest and then notice how you feel afterwards and let's all normalize rest and recovery. Absolutely. I shared the most excellent post the other day. I can't remember who it was, but we should share it. Did
I
you see
I
it?
I shared that too. I saw it. Yes. What was it again?
It was like basically if you have the privilege of being able to rest, like if you're in a situation where you don't have to work, like you're not in poverty where you just have to literally work to survive like they do or like a lot of places do, or if you're in a privileged position where you don't actually have to get to the point of burnout, then it's your obligation to rest and to not glorify busyness, because then it changes the culture for all of us, you know. So I'm like, now I'm kind of seeing that as, which I have been trying to do for ages, is like not say, oh, I'm so busy. I was like, no, I'm not too busy, and I've been working consciously very hard to not be too busy, And I think we just need to really normalize that and show leadership in that space for people and say, it's okay to rest if you need to sleep.
I feel like there's been a big shift, and I feel like the three of us have consciously been saying that for a long time now, trying to not talk about busy and glorifying it. I feel like there's been a bit of a shift in society around that space, that people are taking time now.
Yeah,
and it's okay to have a bit of a, you know, take some time out just to kind of
play golf during the week.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And let's not judge each other for that. In fact, like, because usually when we're judging them, we're like, God, I wish we could do that.
Totally. Like, well, you can.
Exactly. Whereas I feel like it's the opposite now. It's like, good on you. Good on you. And more of us need to do that.
Absolutely.
It gives everyone else permission to do it as well. When you see other people doing it as well. Whereas I think when we see people like, oh, I'm so busy and I'm so this, it's kind of like, oh, shit, I should be busier then.
100%.
And I still feel that guilt too now that I've, I haven't got kids at home as much. You know, I'm like, God, I should be doing more with my time. Right. And then I'm like, actually, you know, it's even just the mental load of the kids, even though they might not be there, you're still dealing with all the stuff.
Yes.
Totally.
We talked about mental load in a conversation, didn't we, a couple of
And sometimes when you're not eyeballing them, the problems are bigger.
Yeah.
You know, when they're there and in front of you, it's not quite so overwhelming.
Yeah. So what about you, Chris?
Which
how are you feeling?
Leads me to that point. So when I was a bit younger and when my kids were younger, like my idea of success, looking back at you, was just getting through without losing my shit too many times. Like, which is terrible when I look back. But now I feel like I've sort of stepped from just survival to like thriving more. And earlier on in the year we talked about, I just feel like I'm stepping into my power because I've got this kind of space to kind of do the things that I've wanted to do. And I feel like I am ticking a few boxes, more like metaphorical boxes than actual, you know, not really a list kind of goal setting type person, but even just to do my yoga, which I talked about, I thought about doing for a long time, just to actually do that and be doing it. Like I bloody just love it, you know? And sometimes you get to the end of ticking a box and it doesn't feel like you thought it would.
Yeah. Or then you move straight on to the next thing.
You go, oh, that was good. But you know, I can't see myself doing it forever, or it doesn't really bring you the joy that you thought it would. So for me, that's been awesome to just, but also utilize this kind of wriggle room I have, to kind of do the things for me as well and balance that between work and looking after the kids and being there for them as well, which usually means not being at home. So that is that balance as well. But I feel like because I haven't got the kids around at the minute, but I know that in the next month they're all going to be home and life's going to get really busy at home again in a really great way. I'm going to have to, you know, start cooking for five again rather than two.
And yes.
So I'm going to kind of shift gears as well. But I also can't wait because, you know, we've had lots of time apart this year and it's going to be
full house.
It's going to be awesome. And, you know, but trying to keep up with those things because I find when I'm busy, like I just things drop off. You know, I might not get to practice meditation and yoga and journaling as much as I do because I try and do those things every day. So I have to be really kind of firm with my boundaries and just try and get those things done still.
Mm-hmm.
And even practicing yoga, like I was just talking before we came on air about, you know, I wasn't going to do another season of yoga leading into Christmas, but I feel like people are asking for it and I think we need it because even if you are busy, then you need it more than ever, absolutely. You know. And I know when people say, I haven't got time to meditate for 10 minutes and that saying is, well, you should do it for an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like all those things, all those tools just help kind of allow you to be in the joy and enjoy it a bit more rather than going, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And you just feel crazy. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Mm. I'm probably similar to what you described, Katrina, in that really trying to lean into how do I want to feel. And I know that I have done that over the last couple of Christmas silly season periods in the last few years, and it's made such a big difference. And the other big thing for me is around just not looking too far ahead. I know you know, 6-7 weeks to Christmas and there are things that need to be done, and I rely massively on my Trello board with, you know, just day-to-day what needs to happen, but I'm trying to just not look too far ahead because when I do that, and not just at this time of year but any time of year, that's when I feel overwhelmed. But if I just do today, and how do I, when I wake up this morning, how do I want to feel today, how do I want to show up, how do I want to be around my kids, how do I just want to move through the day without thinking about tomorrow, the next day and the next week, then things are so much more enjoyable. Even when you've got heaps on, when you've got things on in the evening, you're working all day, you've got things at night time, you are so much more likely to enjoy the things that you're doing rather than just, okay, tonight I've got this, next tomorrow I've got that, I've got to get through that. Every night there's something on, you look at the calendar for the next week. And it is also overwhelming, for me anyway, that then you turn up and you go to these things and you're not present and you don't really enjoy them.
It's just a box.
So then what's
exercise.
The point of going to it in the first place? And I know over the last few years I've made a really conscious effort to not fill the diary too much and make sure that I have had white space, which has been really good. The interesting thing about this year, and I'm not sure if it's because I've been off social media and I'm not having all those inputs, that I'm like really excited about social things. I want to organise something, or I'm already thinking about, you know, our splendid work Christmas party and I want to do something nice here at home. And like, I feel like I've got the time to do it and feel excited about it.
Just
and
that's, think about it, yeah.
Rather than it just being, oh, shit,
I've
got to do this thing.
That's awesome.
So that's a really nice place. But, yeah, for me it's about day by day by day and not looking too far ahead, but also knowing there's things that have got to be done. And I have been trying to just kind of move the needle forward each day on one thing, like just one small thing that I need to do before Christmas, whether that's, you know, Christmas shopping for kids or family or whatever, or if it's just getting things organised, booking a car in for a service, or just little bits and pieces that have to be done between now and then. Just each day doing one thing.
Yeah, it's amazing the success you can feel from just doing one thing.
Yeah.
So isn't there a book about that or something? The one thing.
It just shifts everything else.
I think there is. I think it's a thing.
It just shifts everything else.
Yeah.
You know, like just by doing one thing, particularly if it's one thing that kind of, you know, clouds you from thinking, like that saying, you know, if you eat the frog first, like,
totally. And I find like I get up and do my news, like my newsletter or like the work I've got to do, just get that done first.
Freeze up everything else.
Yeah, it's because I'm hopeless after lunch. Can't do anything after lunch. I'm just like, sometimes I can do a podcast or something. But yeah, get the hard stuff done first.
In the morning.
And don't try to do too much. Like, I love how you've broken it down and be like, just focus on the day ahead.
Yeah.
Be present.
Yeah. And I've still done a little bit of planning, so I've kind of mapped out what needs to be done using Trello, because I bloody love Trello.
Me too. Yay, Trello.
You know, mapped out what I need to do before we jump on the plane and head for Queensland, which is so bloody exciting.
That is exciting.
But because I've kind of done the planning, know what has to be done, but then just break it down day by day, I'm not thinking ahead to, oh, shit, I still want to do that thing, but I know it will happen.
Yeah.
So talking about tips then, if we wanted to give some tips to our listeners, obviously Trello would be something you would encourage, Lee. I've still got people who just roll their eyes when I say Trello, but it's so bloody great. And I use it as much for personal as I do for work.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a separate projects.
I don't know where I'd be without it for the splendid word. Mm. There's no way withholding so much in your head when you're working with so many different clients and then a team of contractors. And so deadline driven, I would not survive because I don't have a great memory as it is.
And things get lost in email and stuff anyway. You go looking for something, you're like, where was that?
Yeah.
They absolutely do. But for each project and each client we work on, you know, we have a separate board for that and it's all mapped out and our clients can jump in and out of it too. Our contractors, whoever's writing on a particular job that we're working on, they're all in it. We're all in that one space. You can keep track of your deadlines.
And it's free. I'll make sure I put it in the show notes, actually, Trello, because I know we've banged on.
Maybe we could get sponsored by them.
Yes, we totally should.
It's so good, though. Like, it's just, it's life-changing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So Trello and probably the other thing for me is just really embracing the things that, you know, work for you and probably going a little bit harder on just, you know, nourishing your body, making sure you're eating good food, cutting back on some of those things that, you know, don't necessarily make you feel great afterwards, whether that might be alcohol or any other little addictions. I actually went for a run with a girlfriend this morning and after it we were both talking about our sugar addictions at the minute, that we've just been going hard on chocolate and, you know, just all that.
I thought you were going to say alcohol after your run and I was like,
no, okay. But she said, right, let's do a no sugar through till Christmas. And I looked at her and I was like,
okay, that's ridiculous. Come on.
See, I could easily do that in a heartbeat.
Nah.
Well, once upon a time I could have, but I've actually enjoyed that little bit of
time.
No, what's the point?
Ask me to give up alcohol and I'll be like,
well, she didn't say that. She knows me too.
But that's that sort of, like, when you try to do that, though, you're destined for failure because all you can think about is, I just want to eat something sweet. I just want to eat something sweet because you just can't sustain it.
So then she's like, okay, well, what about just no packaged food between now and Christmas? And he was like, this is all too hard. But anyway, we kind of came to a compromise in the end that we would do through the week, but then on the weekends.
Yeah. That's kind of how I live.
I'm a big one.
Which is,
that is pretty much my life. It's like, very
exactly,
you know, kind of regiment, not regiment, I don't know what the word is, and I don't want to say good because it's not being good or bad, but it's just like
it's healthy, your schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much more relaxed on the weekends, let's say.
Yeah, because you kind of have to be a little bit, you know.
And you've got to have
80-20, I'm 80-20 all the way.
Yeah, love
it's a
that.
It's a good, and look, I pretty much have always done that, but every now and again, I just love that bit of dark chocolate at the end of the night, or sometimes after lunch, lots of work from home. So good nourishing foods for the body, plenty of vitamin D outside, walks, running, whatever it is that floats your boat, yoga, meditation, dog walks, book reading, and reduced screen time. So they're kind of the things that I just will focus on over the next six or so weeks, and hopefully it's going to be a calm and relaxed kind of rolling into Christmas and beach time.
Yay.
I'm sure it will.
Yep.
What about you, Katrina? Any tips from you? I mean, I know you
I mentioned a few earlier. Well, one thing that came to mind for me then too was just sticking to your routines. But for me, part of the work at the moment is like actually just letting myself be a bit more relaxed with my routines because I've noticed that I'm really using them not as a crutch, but like I'm kind of a bit too strict with them, you know, and I was getting too, like, have to be up at 5 and have to do this. And so actually I've been lately been a bit just
flexible.
Be a bit more flexible with it, you know. Actually, if you need to have a sleep in, have a sleep in.
And do you beat yourself up after you do that?
No, I'm not. Well, no. So it's just giving myself the permission to do it, I think, and then just doing it and leaning into it. So and then noticing, oh, actually, that was fine. I actually feel quite good.
You should mention that. Sorry to interrupt, but I schedule in a sleep in on my calendar one day a month, every month. I just go, that's the day I'm going to have a sleep in.
What's a sleep in for you?
No, like stay in bed, like after, you know, 7:30.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I can't even, like, but 7 is a sleep in.
No, it's not a sleep in, it's a lie-in.
Just not get, that's what I was going to say.
Just like read your book in bed.
And I always schedule it for my dream week, like my dream phase when I'm on my period. So I always go, that is the day, whether it be a Sunday, normally it's, you know, weekends are easy, sorry. Banging on the table here. So I normally schedule it in for the weekend that I'm in my dream phase.
Yes.
And I always just put it on my calendar, and then it just, I make it happen. And sometimes it'll be just before or after, but it is. And then when I do it, I'm like, I planned for this. I don't feel guilty at all.
That actually reminds me.
You've given me permission to do that. Like I have scheduled it in the calendar, but on day one now, no matter what's happening,
if
it's a work day or whatever it might be, if I need to go and have a lay in the bed for an hour and get my hot water bottle out or whatever, I'd do it.
And I say that to my
girls. It just feels like such a gift to yourself.
I said, and be able to spend all day in the cave, but just have an hour in the cave.
Yes, and don't do your hardcore exercise in that week either, or that, like, especially those first few days.
So I'm true.
Feeling so much better for doing that.
Yep.
But on that also, I would say, especially in the lead up to Christmas, tracking your cycle because and knowing, all right, I'm going to be leading up to my period around Christmas, but I'm around my family who trigger me. I'm probably going to get extra triggered. So, and, you know, just being aware of that makes such a difference.
It's a huge, I say that to my girls too. I go, they'll ring me in tears. I go, where are you at? What day are you on?
And
they'll go, go back. And I've been giving them like the podcast link to the Period Queen because it's the 4 episodes broken into the 4 cycles. Because sometimes it's like that. I go, read the book and they roll their eyes. I can see them rolling their eyes going, I'm the time.
Whereas that's not too much to take in.
They're like 3 30-minute episodes and you read it and go, oh, so I'm normal. Actually,
exactly.
You listen to it and you go, so I'm not going crazy. I'm just in that phase. And I don't want to be near people and I need just to go to the cave for an hour or I'm in the week where I'm like, I want to see everyone and do everything and the next week I might not feel that way. Mm. So
especially in this lead up to Christmas, just noticing that. And also, like, I know myself, alcohol, like, so I can't handle alcohol as well. I think it's around that sort of around my period time.
Yeah.
Mm. You have 2 glasses and you're like, woof. So just, again, knowing all of this stuff and planning for it.
Yep.
So you know where you're at, so you can, you know, build in some extra kind of tools for yourself or, you know.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's, even at Christmas, you need to be doing that anyway. Like, if you know that your family trigger you or, you know, there's particular people that you don't love being around, it's hard work, you know, make sure you've got space and don't be, you know, around each other the whole time. And even think, you know, if you're staying in houses with other people and stuff, like, you definitely need to be getting out.
I wonder if my sister will be listening to this episode. She's got us staying with her for 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's okay. parents. Leonie's going to go for lots of walks. No, you two love each other. I mean, we all love each other, but it's just that.
Oh, it can be real.
We wouldn't be staying there for 2 weeks if we didn't.
You can love someone with all your heart and still not be able to live with them.
100%.
2 days, it'll last 2 weeks. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be my tips. Like, stick to your routines, but also if you're a total routine person and you really clung to them, like, maybe just trial over this festive period being a bit more relaxed with them.
Yeah.
And scheduling in that rest time and being aware of your cycles so that you can prepare for it. And then, yeah, maybe just thinking about, like, taking some more time off too. That's another thing I'm really going to do this January is just, and when I say time off any learning, time off any, like, maybe have a break from podcasts, just have a break from social media. Just give yourself an actual break, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also
you
think
often
about,
need a rest after the Christmas too, don't you? Like, you Christmas do. Is like a holiday, but it's actually exhausting.
Yes, well, so it reminds me of that, like, there's a difference between a holiday and a break. Like, do you need a holiday or do you need a break?
Yeah.
And so if you've got a holiday plan where you're away with the kids for 2 weeks and all your family and it's Christmas, like, that's not really a break.
It's
so maybe plan in some time afterwards for some real downtime, switch off, all that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And I would say that too, the tips that I would give is that even though things get really busy, like, it's easy for things to just fall off. But when you're busy is when you need that stuff. So, and also if you fall off the wagon, sometimes it's easy to just go, I'll just ride off the rest of the month.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, totally. Don't do that. You just go, oh, well, start again tomorrow.
You know, like, I remember talking to one of our kids this week. She was really stressed out. Oh, Finny doing exams. And she's like, I can't think straight. I'm so whatever. I said, just go for a walk. She goes, I haven't got time to go for a walk. I said, that's why you need to go for a walk. You
exactly.
know, just to kind of get out of the four walls and get out of the bubble you're in, because, you know, a walk in the bush or just, you know, sitting quietly and breathing properly for 10 minutes will actually help. Or essential oils. I had one of my girls go, essential oils don't work, Mum. You know, I go, they actually bloody do.
They do.
So don't say they don't work, because, you know, like, and sometimes you forget that they work.
Totally.
You know,
because it's the simple things.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Often it's the simplest things. So we think, oh, that won't work, but it actually does.
I love that meme. I think I've spoken to it about it on the podcast, and I should share it on our socials, of that eagle stomping, going for his stupid, excuse my language, stupid fucking walk for my stupid fucking mental health. Like, you know, he's kind of like, he's forcing himself to go for this walk because it's, but he knows it works.
Yes, exactly.
So sometimes you have to force yourself to do these things,
yeah,
even though you haven't got time or you feel stressed, because you know they work.
Absolutely. That's it. Yep. And just do it. And then notice how you feel afterwards, because that's the important thing too, is to register, oh, okay, even though I didn't want to do it, I did it. Look how I feel now.
Yes.
And remind yourself and, like, cement that in your brain, because that's what will get you to do it the next time.
Yeah,
you know?
So true. I'd love if any of our listeners have got tips that they would like to share as well about things that work for them. Please jump onto our Instagram page and when this episode drops and let us know
absolutely
what works for you as well, because we love getting that feedback. And speaking of feedback, I just wanted to mention that off the back of the last episode that we released on resilience, we've had so many beautiful comments come through from people and on our Instagram page, and just other personal messages and things too that have been quite overwhelming. And I know when the first few messages started coming through on my phone, because I'm not on the socials, so I hadn't seen when the episode dropped, people were commenting, but I had a few messages start coming through on my phone, and it's interesting. They were beautiful messages, and about other women similar kind of age sharing just how appreciative they were of the kind of journey that I had shared. And also that they felt that it was giving them permission to kind of re-examine their own perceptions of not just resilience but other things in life as well, and permission to go and seek help themselves. But it was funny, when the first few messages started coming through, I felt really almost didn't want to read them. I kind of, which was such an
Did
interesting
you have a vulnerability
thing to notice.
Hangover?
I had a vulnerability hangover, like you wouldn't believe. And I just... I didn't want to finish reading the messages, and I couldn't reply to them because I was a bit like, oh, no, people have listened. And I was regretting, did I overshare, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just...
It's totally normal.
Yeah, totally normal. But I made myself just sit with that and kind of dig into it. And in the end, I just had to lean into that. I hope that people would take that in the way it was intended, because I know for me, when other people share those kinds of stories and true and vulnerable emotional things about themselves and things that have been challenging, I just get so much out of it. I learn so much from it. I feel less alone, and it again, it gives me permission. They're the kinds of things I love hearing the most, but it's really hard when you're the one doing it.
Absolutely.
And I like to think that I'm pretty good at being, you know, vulnerable in front of people that I know and love, but it's so uncomfortable, and it is a muscle, and it's something that you'd kind of need to practice and you need to do. And it was interesting, some feedback as well. I had some beautiful messages again this morning from other people saying that, yes, like our generation, we definitely grew up believing that vulnerability was a weakness, and that was what was modeled to so many people. I think that surprised me. I thought maybe that was just our kind of family and our experience.
Oh, no.
But it seems so common with our generation that vulnerability was seen as a weakness, and it's only really in this last probably decade that we've started to see it differently. And so that takes a bit of time to kind of unwrap. Like we can say the words and speak the language that, oh yeah, vulnerability is a really good thing and we need to do more of it.
But doing it
is a whole another thing. Yeah. So those first few messages that came through, I really struggled to kind of, feel okay with. And then as more have come through, I've been really appreciative. And I can genuinely see that it has helped people. And that's what it's about.
Isn't it? Totally.
So, just a huge thank you to those people that have left feedback and sent through messages and, I hope that we can keep doing more of it.
Spreading the good stuff.
But it's one of your turn next.
No, I think I've been vulnerable enough over the years. I've had plenty of those vulnerability hangovers. I know all about it. It just made me think, though,
everyone has their turn.
If you haven't watched Brené Brown's TED Talk on vulnerability, it's an absolute ripper. So if you haven't heard of that one,
we'll share that in the show notes.
Yes. That's just the best. And that's what it's really all about, I think. So,
absolutely.
So we should share what we're loving.
What are we loving?
Who's going first?
Yes, go.
So I'm actually, it's a bit random, but I am loving not having hay fever.
Oh, how come you haven't got it?
Well, just wait for it.
Oh.
So I have had hay fever only as an adult, but probably I reckon since I had the kids, and never had hay fever growing up on the farm. Have had it worse sort of every year, and last year was really bad because of the flood waters. Like there was lots of grass and stuff everywhere, so everyone was complaining of hay fever. So two things, local honey is really important.
Oh,
and I've always had local honey, but I always bloody forget to take it, right?
So hang on, just eating it normally?
Yes, but it has to be within a 100K radius, right? And this was, do you know what this was on your bloody Blue Zone, which I started watching, which is amazing. Oh, so I'm loving that.
So good.
They talked about local raw honey as well on Blue Zones because it has all the pollen in it from all the trees and plants and flowers in your neighbourhood within 100 km, and
it's like an antidote.
Gives you immunity, and it bloody works. I won't bang on the table again. So
get some local honey.
Just having a teaspoon of honey every day for months. You've got to start before spring. You can't wait till hay fever kicks in.
Right.
Too late. So I started that. You know, I actually bought some beautiful honey from our local farmers market. We've got a few local honey people here, which is great. But there was a new company that I got onto, and they had all these beautiful products and. So anyway, I've been doing that. But also the other thing I think, and I'm, you know, it's still only November. So normally I have really bad hay fever October, November, and by the end of November, December, it's gone. But I have been breathing properly through my nose now since February.
With the yoga?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Breathing through your nose is a game changer. Well, no, not even that. Like Ujjayi breath is definitely, but breathing through my nose all the time. And that book I read by James Nestor, about breathing.
Yes.
Honestly, he did an experiment which if you breathe through your nose, it can.
Maybe that's why I don't get hay fever.
It can prevent.
I'm a nose breather. I don't breathe
snoring as well. So I've been trying to get Troy to stop snoring when he's really tired and had played golf all day. He snores a bit. So this guy did an experiment where he taped his mouth, and people do this to stop snoring, and it works. So I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice, but I will put this book in the show notes. But I have been breathing through my nose really consciously, not just when I'm doing yoga, but all the time when I'm walking.
And the idea of the nose and the system is that it filters all of those things, isn't it?
But breathing, makes so much sense. Breathing through your nose actually broadens your nasal
passages,
capacity as well, and that's why it can combat things like hay fever and snoring. So this is a self-experiment here, and it's actually bloody worked. So I'm like, and I usually was spraying, Telfast every day for literally
and
6 weeks.
And you've had injections. And...
No, I haven't injections. No, so, but I've had it really bad and I've been, always trying to find natural remedies. So you do have to do a bit of prep though. You can't just switch it on. You have to mentally, and physically prepare for it. That's what I've done.
Like with the breath.
Yeah, with the breathing. It doesn't happen overnight. But anyway, that's what I'm bloody loving. And touch wood, you know, whether it, I wake up tomorrow with hay fever, I'll let you know. But how cool is that?
Yes. So cool. I love that. And so simple. Just very eat simple. Some honey.
Nature knows so best. Many.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. What about you? Katrina, what are you loving?
What am I loving? Okay, so I'm loving a couple of things. One thing that I have to share is our long lunch. I love that so much. So we had our long lunch last Saturday and it was so fun and it was just so nice to, I think Steph and I have dreamed of having a long lunch in the trees for a long time and it was just beautiful. Mm. It was just such a nice, you know, it's a celebration and people coming together and just fun and beautiful food. Michelle Theodore did the catering and she was great. And Christy was there.
Every dish had avocado.
Everything. Yeah.
I tasted, I was in at Michelle's on Monday morning and she gave us a taste of the mousse.
Oh, the
avocado
the mousse was good.
Delicious.
And the local
the mousse was delicious. Oh, local wines. And, oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I just loved it.
That was just lovely. And the other thing I'm loving, this is a bit corny, but I'm just loving my beautiful husband because we have the best.
He is beautiful.
He's so just wonderful. And he comes in at lunchtime and usually I've been sitting working all morning and he comes in and I just go, I tell him all this stuff and he goes, okay. And then he sort of, and he just is just so patient and just then he would talk to me about all these things. I just think, gee, not that he puts up with a lot because I'm not like, no, I shouldn't be self-degrading or whatever the word is, but like, he just is very, he's such a good listener and he just, and I just really am just so grateful that we get to have these lovely chats.
It's probably the highlight of his day when he walks in and he gets
it's the highlight of my day.
Yeah. I imagine if he walked in and it was kind of nothing.
Yeah. And how lucky are we that, you know, because sometimes farming, like there's, you know, there's a lot in farming that's hard and, you know, financially it's hard at the moment and stuff, but it's those things that are just so awesome that we can have
it's
lunch
nice
together.
To be appreciated too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't always appreciate things that are right in front of you.
Exactly. And we, you know, because we've been doing best, worst, thankful, and I made a point of saying that, and you know, and I think he really appreciated that too. It's like, oh, she does like that.
And that's
you
so
know,
nice
I
for
listen.
The kids to hear that
yes,
as well.
Yes, exactly.
It?
So I've just been
shout out to Tim.
Shout out to Tim, and just it's. I think because I was wondering whether I should share that, and I was like, no, well, that's what's present in my mind, and I think it is nice to just. It's nice that I'm noticing how valuable that is too, instead of just taking it for granted. So
yeah, there's lots of things in life we probably take.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like having a lovely partner is, I definitely do not take that for granted. I feel very, very blessed.
Yeah.
Every day that we have the relationship.
And because not
that we have.
Everyone has it. And also not guaranteed of always being there. I was talking to a beautiful neighbor the other night and she's, you know, the next generation on from us and probably nearly close to 80s. And her husband's away at the moment looking after family members. They've got some health issues happening and she's here by herself and she's just saying how it's just not right. It just doesn't feel right. She's there in the evening. She said, I'm so used to him coming in and saying, would you like a drink, darling? Or, you know, coffee in the morning or a nice glass of wine together or something. And she just was pining for him. And I just, like, it was so beautiful. But, yeah, it just reminded me of that how important that person is.
Yeah.
Some people don't have that anymore.
No,
that's right.
Exactly right. Exactly
That's why we should appreciate it.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. That's nice. That's lovely.
I am loving at the moment. I've just received an order of some new house cleaning products, which sounds very boring.
No, need to know about this.
Have you
this.
Heard of Pleasant State?
No.
Oh, no.
Are they on the Owners Collective?
Yeah, yes. Prue Chapman on One Wild Ride.
One Wild
she
Ride.
She interviewed the founders of Pleasant State.
On my list.
So it's two Aussie women. They're really cool chicks. They are based on the Sunshine Coast, I think, now. But they started this business from scratch, you know, in the garage back in 2020. So the idea was about creating sustainable, waste-free, beautiful, you know, non-toxic products, cleaning products. But off the kind of understanding that 98% of our home care products and cleaning products are water-based. Mm. So pretty much if you order anything or buy anything, it's about 98% water and the rest is the, you know, chemical or whatever goes in it. So they've created these, I don't know what they would call them, but they're like a concentrated kind of bar.
Like a laundry sheet as well, you know, like those.
Oh, the strip
sheets.
Ones now are
No, they're just like a little soap bar that come in a compostable packaging. So that's got all the goodness, like if it's plant-based, good for the environment, all that stuff. But you just buy these little bars, and then you can buy like a kit, which is what I've got, which has got your six kind of the glass bottles. They're these beautiful bottles with colourful silicon kind of top and bottom to them. So if you drop them and whatever, they won't break.
Oh,
so you just buy the glassware once, and then you buy the refillable little bars. And they just, so you fill them with water, tap water, and they just dissolve in it overnight. It's like a 10-hour kind of process. By morning, they're ready to go. They smell divine.
Wow. Because even the organic stuff at the supermarket smells terrible.
I know. No, these are so beautiful. And then, yeah, so whenever, you know, you're starting to run low, you just order your little bars and everything's completely compostable. They're,
make sure we share that in the show. The
organisation are B Corp certified. They're 1% for the planet.
Oh, wow.
Just all the good stuff, and they've just got such a great business story that they're the ones I just love supporting. Love and the stuff looks beautiful in your house too, so it kind of, I don't really love cleaning, but it kind of makes you go,
happy to clean.
Yeah.
I'm geeking out on this. I'm so excited about it.
So, isn't it funny though? Because sometimes we do things the same way for forever, and you know,
I'm not a big, and I've always tried to either make my own
organic
ones at home or buy something organic. I've tried a few different ones, but there's still ones that you've got to buy the bottle and more plastic comes. That's right. And so now you don't have to, you just feel so much better about it.
It reminds me of the beautiful refilled folk that come to our local farmers market, and they have these beautiful little toilet bombs.
Oh.
They're like a little bicarb soda little kind of nugget that you put in your toilet and you just let it sit there, and 10 minutes later you come through and flush it. So I just have those in each toilet and just drop them in. And it's kind of like it sanitizes the toilet. And
it's not bad for the system, because some of those other chemical ones are actually really bad for the septic.
And there's no wastage with it either. So you just drop it in, you buy them in a little refill. You can take and get it refilled. That's why it's called refilled. And it's at our local farmers market, and you can buy it online as well. Really cool. There's another
brew
in Bendigo that sells as well.
You can get that Pleasant State stuff for someone for Christmas.
Exactly. They're doing gifting boxes
at the moment. I'm going to get right onto that. And we'll put all the goodness in the show notes. So lots of great things. Great Christmas presents.
And we'll be having one more episode before Christmas.
At least, I think. Maybe even two, but we'll see how we go, because we might get too busy.
Yeah. No, we'll be fine. We love this. This is an absolute priority.
We'll have plenty of space for that.
I think that's it. Nothing else we needed to touch on today.
No. Thanks for chatting, ladies. So lovely.
Great chat. Nice to see you both.
Thanks for spreading the good stuff.
Thank you for listening. Yes. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. And as always, if you have any feedback at all, please leave that for us. We'd love to hear from you all. If anyone wants to write a review, I had somebody the other day ask, I want to write you a review, but I can't remember how to do it. Mm-hmm. So
we'll put that.
You go to the episode on Apple or Spotify, and not to the episode, sorry, you go to the show, Spreading the Good Stuff show, scroll down to the bottom, and it's just got a little write a review down the bottom.
Yeah, so and I'll really put that easy on the Instagram as well, just to remind people. It is in our show notes, which is on the Splendid Word website, but I'll put it in the Instagram post as well.
And also just tell your friends or share it on social media. Like, word of mouth is still the greatest way of getting things out there. Like, if it's helpful for you, tell your friends about it, you know.
Yeah.
The more listeners, the better.
Yeah.
Although we do get scared of that too, but, you know, that's okay.
And we would be happy just to do it by ourselves.
We would. At all. But anyway, we would. Thank you for listening, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, ladies.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you, but we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.